G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the assessment of the sick neonate. Obviously the management is important here, and that'll be a separate episode. Thanks to RCH for their CBG on the seriously unwell neonate, and also Dr. Sarah Fui for her nice diagram on the sick neonate. So the shock neonate, the big three differentials to consider are sepsis, cardiac and metabolic endocrine causes. And to round out those causes, you would have heard of the misfits mnemonic, but of those, trauma, intestinal pathology, toxins and seizures are also important. Red flag features or high risk features are antenatal complications such as intrauterine growth restriction, and gestational diabetes, congenital abnormalities that have been diagnosed, infections, so torch infections in particular, medication and toxin exposure, and a previous child with early onset sepsis. For the birth history, prematurity, low birth weight, positive GBS swab, perinatal stress, prolonged rupture of membranes, and maternal fever or active HSV or VZV, and a baby requiring resus, poor feeding and growth, and poor urine output, so less than four nappies in 24 hours. They're all the red flag high-risk features. For our first differential for sepsis, historical features are fever, lethargy, perhaps a cough or apneic episodes, and then the maternal sepsis features, the GBS mentioned above, or chorioamnionitis, peripartum fever. On examination for vital signs, we're looking for derangement of vital signs more broadly, but particularly a fever of 38 or above or less than 36, or hypothermia. We're looking for increased work of breathing, focal crackles for pneumonia, non-blanching rash or cellulitis or vesicles, and irritability and perhaps nuchal rigidity or a tense anterior fontanelle. For investigations, we're looking for hypoglycemia, needing a septic screen with urine via a suprapubic aspirate or an in-out catheter for positive Luke's nitrates and blood. For blood tests, we're looking for cultures, a white cell count and CRP, and a VBG for lactate, a respiratory PCR and chest X-ray, looking for consolidation and a lumbar puncture to round out the septic screen. For our second differential of cardiac causes, so a history of known congenital cardiac defects, whether they be cyanotic or acyanotic, and trisomy 21 or is particularly important. On examination, vital signs, we're looking for pre- and post-ductal signs, whether that be blood pressure difference of 10 to 20 millimetres of mercury or a SATS difference of greater than 3%. We're looking for absent peripheral pulses and refractory hypoxia with the hypoxia test. On a cardiac exam, we're looking for pallor, murmurs, and delayed central cap refill and peripheral as well, basal crackles for pulmonary edema and hepatomegaly. Investigations for the cardiac causes are ECG, of course, for SVT or VT or WPW, for example, chest X-ray for cardiomegaly and pulmonary edema, and a transthoracic echo looking for TOF, transposition of the great vessels, and the septal defects. For endocrine and metabolic causes, the third differential, history of consanguinity, poor antenatal care, a lack of a Guthrie card that's alerted people to hypothyroidism, for example, or lack of newborn screening, and a history of seizures. On the examination, we think of a coma or seizures or hypotonia, jaundice, dysmorphism, ambiguous genitalia, hyperpigmentation, and signs of dehydration, so dry mucous membranes and decreased skin turgor. On investigations, looking for hypoglycemia, plus or minus ketones. On gas, we're looking for low sodium, low chloride, high potassium, plus or minus a HAGMA. And we're also looking for ammonia, sending that on ice, and thyroid function and cortisol. The fourth differential is intestinal causes or surgical causes. A history that's important is prematurity, whether there's vomiting, and whether that vomiting is bilious or non-bilious or projectile, delayed passage of meconium or infrequent passage of stool, and that whether that stool is bloody and or the typical red currant stool for intussusception. on examination, looking for signs of dehydration again, or hypovolemia, and on the abdominal exam is going to be the main thing to distinguish is distended abdomen masses, whether it be an olive mass for pyloric stenosis or a sausage-shaped mass like an intussusception or an irreducible inguinal hernia. For investigations, bloods, we're looking for a hypochloremic metabolic alkalosis, a high lactate for bowel ischemia, an abdominal x-ray looking for a double bubble sign or a target sign, and ultrasound, again looking for a target sign for intussusception or free fluid. The other differentials to round it out would include acute bilirubin encephalopathy, non-accidental injury, toxicological causes and seizures, and history there would be jaundice, parental mental health concerns or previous child protection involvement, for example. Examination would be focused on an abnormal neurological examination, whether that be high or low tone, hypertonia, generalized tonic-clonic seizures, bulging fontanelle or altered GCS, and for NAI, looking for bruising patterns. For investigations, serum bilirubin and the conjugated fraction is important there, skeletal survey and CT brain for non-accidental injury, and then a toxicological screen for the appropriate toxicological cause. Okay, that's the assessment of an unwell neonate or shock neonate. We'll have a separate episode on the management of a shock neonate or the approach to the management of the shock neonate, but thanks for listening.